Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur Podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 5th of May 2020. I am Steve in Leon C in Essex, and we've got a very special guest today, the one and only Mickey Hazard. How are you doing, Mickey?
Doing very well, thank you very much. And you?
Yeah, terrific, thank you. Good. Now, we'll get straight into it. This is my new series called My Spurs Journey. We've had some brilliant guests on so far. Anthony Costa, we've had some of the old podcasters from different parts of England and around the world. We've had Crackers, who Mickey, you know very well from the shows you've done together.
I certainly do.
Yeah. What we're doing on this show is we're looking at you as a fan. So rather than you as a player, Mickey, which we will touch on, of course, but this is you as a Spurs fan, and I thought it was perfect for you because you're such a massive Spurs fan.
Yeah, I mean, no more than any other fan. But obviously, easy for me to be a fan. I mean, I joined the club when I was scouted by the club at the age of sort of 12, signed schoolboy forms at 14. So when you link it all together, 46 years of sort of being linked to Spurs in some capacity, it'd be very surprising if you weren't a fan.
What we'll do then is I've got a few questions to get through, some quirkier than others. But the first question for you is, who is your favourite football club?
Really?
They get tougher.
This one's extremely tough. My favourite football club was obviously Spurs.
Ricky, why is it Tottenham?
Why?
Yeah.
You know what, I'm not so sure that you actually choose a club.
Hmm.
I think that it somehow comes into your life.
Yeah.
And somehow you find a link to that club. You know, like with me, for instance, from the moment I walked through the gates at White Hart Lane as a 14-year-old and met Bill Nicholson.
Yeah.
Sitting in his office with him on his elevated desk and chair to sort of looking down on me shaking like a leaf because I was with the great Bill Nicholson. You somehow, I'm not sure you're even aware of it at the time, but somehow there's a, you know, I look at the way I've lived my life, for instance, and I think when I read Audere e Facere, or to dare is to do, I think of the way that I live my life and the way I played football. And it sort of just felt like Tottenham Hotspur had to be my club.
Yeah.
Because I played the game a bit daring. I couldn't bear to take the easy option. I lived my life again. You know, I hate taking the easy options. I like to be a bit of a risk taker. You know, so if I could beat three men and spray a pass to someone 30 yards away to put him in on goal, that made me feel better than if I just retained possession.
Yeah.
I wanted to take risks. I wanted to be daring. And obviously, you can't do that all of the time. But it just felt like I happened to be in the right place at the right time with the right club. And here I am 46 years later, understanding why Tottenham was my club, because we were two peas in a pod. We had the same philosophies, the beliefs in the way the football should be played, and obviously my upbringing at Spurs just cemented them and made them so much stronger. And probably there's good explanation that I can give as why I'm Spurs, why I'll always be Spurs, why my children will be Spurs, so on and so on.
Yeah, brilliant. So as a kid, you grew up in Sunderland?
I grew up in Sunderland, yeah.
And were you a Sunderland fan?
Again, it's very difficult to say whether you were or you weren't. All I can say is that I never went to watch Sunderland play. That didn't mean that I didn't look for their results. But what you have to remember is that as a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, we're not really a fan. We're just sort of finding our way in football. And I played football and I wanted to play it every minute of every day.
Yeah.
So I never had any time whatsoever to go and watch. Because if I went to watch, it got in the way of me playing. And even though all my mates used to go to Roker Park, I never ever went. I used to stay on playing football by myself and wait for them to get back to then have a numbers game. So was I a fan? I supported them in the 1973 Cup final against Leeds United.
Yeah.
Remember celebrating afterwards the victory. But at that stage, I'd already been scouted by Spurs. I'd already befriended the Spurs scout. He would come to our house for dinner. I would go to his house for dinner. So Spurs were my club then. So I never really got a chance to develop being a Sunderland supporter because I joined Spurs so young.
Yeah, I think a lot of ex-pros and pros now say that they didn't really support a club like we do because you just played all the time. So you couldn't support them on the Saturday because you were playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So next question. What is your favourite country?
Oh, my favourite country. I say this without any shadow of a doubt. England.
Yeah.
I absolutely think England's the most wonderful country in the world. And that doesn't mean there isn't other great countries there is. But England is just, and I'm biased because I was born and bred here too. England is just an amazing country and we've got faults and flaws, but in general, we're a great, great country.
I'm going to take you to your playing career just on this question. Can you remember a country you went to? I mean, obviously, you know, you fly there, you stay in a hotel, you play the game and come home. But I wonder if there was ever an occasion where you went to a country and you went around the city or anything and you thought, oh, this is a terrific city.
Yeah, I went through many. I mean, I've got to say, when I first went to Switzerland with Spurs on my first ever tour as a junior, I was 15. The youth team went away on a tour to Switzerland, and I went with them.
Yeah.
Sorry, we did Belgium as well, which I love Belgium as well.
Yeah.
So I was with the youth team in Switzerland, and I couldn't believe the beauty of the country.
Right.
The cleanliness of the country was just incredible. And that's the two things that stuck with me about Switzerland, how incredibly clean the streets were, not a paper, nothing lying on the floor. The beauty, you know, we played on a football pitch in amidst the Alps. I mean, it was like, wow, it was breathtaking.
Yeah.
So Switzerland was possibly the most beautiful country I'd visited, with Spurs anyway.
Yeah.
It was absolutely stunning and clean. And that sort of left a long-lasting effect on me.
Brilliant. All right. Now, we're going to bring it down a little bit. As a fan, what football team do you most dislike? Now the varied answers we've had here are obviously the team from over the river, the team to the west. but is there any team that you particularly think, oh, can't stand them?
I'd have to say, and this is not denouncing Arsenal as a football club. Obviously, it's a very, very big football club and been very successful.
Yeah.
But I absolutely have no time for them whatsoever. and I say that because, you know, when I joined Spurs at the age of 14 as a schoolboy, part of your education is learning the what it means to play in a North London derby,
yeah,
whether it be as a schoolboy, a junior, a youth team player, reserve player, or first team player. The whole process is teaching you right the way through every development stage, teaches you about the history of this game with this football club, and how you can become a hero if you win that game and score the winning goal, say, you'll become an hero forevermore. So, of course, when you've been, all these things have been instilled in you about this monster occasion when it's Spurs v Arsenal at NLD, of course, it sticks with you, and you actually grow to... dislike's maybe a strong word, but all I can say is that I can't actually bear it when they win a game.
Yeah.
I just can't bear it. I sit watching, if they're on TV, I don't often watch it, but if I do,
yeah,
I sit there stressed to the hilt. That's why I don't watch them. They get so stressed, because if they win, and the last 5 minutes of the game, if they're losing 1-0, I just sit there thinking, they're going to win 2-1.
Yeah.
You know, because I know, number one, that my timeline on Twitter is going to be full with Arsenal fans.
When they were there,
it was really funny. I was going on holiday a few years ago.
Yeah.
I was sitting on that. I went by the tunnel, you know, with the car. And I was sitting on there, and Arsenal had just won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
I was getting messages and pictures. There must have been a concerted effort to attack me.
Yeah.
Because I must have had about 5,000 Arsenal fans. I spent the first 2 days of my holiday blocking them. Honestly. It just makes the dislike. I'm not sure that's the word.
Yeah.
They're successful as well, aren't they?
So there's
that made it worse, of course.
There's a bit of the green eyes in there, and that's perhaps
why
we don't dislike West Ham that much, because let's face it, they're not particularly competitive, unless we're playing against them, of course. And the other thing I was thinking is, as a fan myself, I don't on the Arsenal occasions, I don't quite finish. I probably only eat half my burger. I can't eat. So when you guys, obviously, you go to the games with the other ex-players, and you have your lunch first or whatever, I bet on normal match days, you know, you get tuck into the food and have a good old chat. But I bet it's very much quieter, and people just going, I just can't eat. Is that right? Am I picturing that right?
Yeah. Well, it's you know what? It's really, really strange for me anyway, and I can't speak for everyone else. But in the week leading up to the game, I'm full of excitement. I'm full of hope. I'm full of optimism. There's no way we're losing. You know, we're going to do them with this, that. And then on the day of the game, honestly, I am an absolute wreck. I ate the game. I absolutely ate the game.
Yeah.
And I ate the game mainly because I can't bear the thought of losing. So no matter how positive I've been all week long in the build-up and how excited I've been, the minute we get to the game, I'm absolutely a wreck until the full time's whistle's gone and we've won.
Yeah.
I can't bear the thought of losing to them. I just can't bear it. And I know that one or two of the others say the same things. Rob Waugh, for instance, I've seen Rob Waugh diving around the box when we've scored against Arsenal like a lunatic, you know. And so I ate the game. I ate the day of the game until it's over. And when we've won, I celebrate. All I can think of when that full-time whistle goes and we've won, can't wait to get on Twitter and give them it back. You know?
And just confirm to me that when we do score, Pat Jennings is up with the rest of you.
Absolutely, Pat is. Look, you must never forget, Pat's Spurs through and through.
Yeah.
Pat will never, ever say a bad word against Arsenal, because rightly so. He spent 5 or 6 years there, so he shouldn't criticise or abuse them. But Pat's Spurs through and through, no question about it. I'm a great believer in saying if you've played for any club, you shouldn't criticise them because with respect to their fans who've supported you when you were there. You shouldn't criticise any club that you've played for.
Yeah.
And Pat's no different. He won't criticise Arsenal, but he Spurs through and through, trust me.
Take note, Jason Cundy, please.
Yes, he's one of the rare players that has.
And on that, is there a player, and again, as a fan, and I know you need to be a little bit diplomatic on this, but is there a player that you really dislike?
What, modern day?
Yeah, I mean, previous guests have said John Terry, for example, Cesc Fabregas.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Again, who they've got that little bit of respect for as well.
I don't like Fabregas because I think he's behaved not in a very dignified way, even recently.
Right.
4 years to the day that Chelsea drew 2-2 with Spurs at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
His comment where why? We won the... His comment was, we won 4 years ago today, we won the Premier League.
Yeah.
And then in the following tweet, he put for Leicester.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really? I mean, you've won, I think he's won the World Cup, the European Cup. Why are you bothering with such pettiness? No class.
Yeah.
It was just petty. I mean, 4 years today, what? Because someone else won the league.
Yeah.
I thought it was pathetic. And also, I'll never forgive him when he was on TV when Chelsea still had Leicester to play in the Premier League, and he was saying he wants Leicester to win the league.
Yeah.
I thought it showed a lack of integrity it brought about the English Premier League losing a bit of its integrity because players from clubs, I don't mind. If you didn't have Leicester to play, say what you want. That's your opinion.
Yes, absolutely.
But when you've still got a professional football club to play, and it could decide the outcome of the Premier League, you owe it to the integrity of the league itself to actually not comment on that fixture in a way of supporting the club that you're about to play. Now, luckily for Fabregas, the league was won by the time Chelsea got to play them. I wonder what would have happened if we needed Chelsea to win for us to win the league, you know, and that's what it was called into question when he made those comments, and I didn't like him. And as a consequence, I've got no time for him. I think he behaves, for someone that's achieved so much in the game, he should behave a lot better than he does trolling people on Twitter or Spurs fans and Spurs on Twitter for another club. If he wants to troll them about Chelsea or Arsenal, that's fine. That's who we played for.
Yeah.
I get it. But why are you trolling them about bloody Leicester?
Yeah.
So no, he's probably my most disliked modern day footballer.
Very, very popular choice. So let's bring it back up then. So which player have you enjoyed watching the most? If you could pick out anyone as a fan, who's your favourite player?
What, today?
Of the past, let's say, since you've been a fan, since
since I retired. Goes without saying, Lionel Messi is the greatest, as far as I'm concerned. Never seen anyone do what he do. Not just what he does. I mean, I've seen players that can dribble and do things like he does, but not at the tempo and pace and consistency that he does it. So he's been the most exciting player I've had to watch since. I loved watching Paul Scholes. I thought he was the best English midfielder of the last 25 years.
Yeah,
I thought he was an unbelievable player. Loved watching him.
But and then for Spurs?
For Spurs, I've enjoyed watching Dele Alli when he was at his best.
Yeah.
I've got to say that my two favourite Spurs players, Glenn Hoddle and Ozzy Ardiles, I absolutely thought they were just both, in different ways, geniuses.
Yeah.
So I've enjoyed them probably more than anyone. But again, people would argue that I'm biased because I played with them. So Dele Alli, I thought when he first arrived at the club and for the first year or two, I thought he was quite amazing to watch.
Yeah,
he gave me this feeling that whenever I watched them, I used to think, "Wow, he looks like he's down the park with all his friends having a kickabout." You know, he wasn't overawed or intimidated by any occasion. And it was just a joy to watch. I know that his form wasn't as good as it has been. I thought he rediscovered it when in the first two or three games that Mourinho game.
Yeah.
Then he just sort of lost it a little bit again. But I think on his day, he's a lovely player to watch. He hits those quality passes. He makes those telling runs. He scores some great, great goals. He really is great to watch. And hopefully this break will have did him good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a young boy and he's played a hell of a lot of football.
Yeah, he's still young. We forget that.
Yeah.
He's still young.
A short space of time and a bit like Harry in many ways as well, who's overplayed. And hopefully the break, when they come back, they'll be refreshed, recharged, and they'll be at their very, very peak and best, because when they are there, the top players.
Who's been your favourite manager of the last 20-odd years?
At Spurs?
Yeah. So we've had, people have said Redknapp, Martin Jol, Poch, obviously. Tim Sherwood hasn't had a mention yet, but there we go.
I think you can't look beyond Poch.
Yeah.
Not only was he a great manager, the only thing that he failed to do was get over the line.
Hmm.
If he'd have got over the line, he would go down as an absolute great manager, one of our best. But what he's achieved in his short space of time, he transformed the club. You know, we were playing in finals, we were challenging for the Premier League year in, year out, playing in Europe. Some of the greatest memories of my footballing life were achieved under Poch.
Yeah.
You know, if we talk about Manchester City in the Champions League, the VAR last second decision, then we go to Ajax in the semi. I mean, is there ever going to be a better climax to a Champions League? Will it go down in history as the greatest Champions League game ever? In my opinion, yeah, I mean, it was just incredible. So Poch, and above all else, he was just such an incredibly lovely guy.
Yeah, great with you. Great with all you ex-players, right?
Listen, he knew every single ex-player's name.
Yeah.
He knew every single ex-player's history. He'd read up on us all. Wherever I bumped into him, he was happy to stand and chat and give me time. Even after a game one day, I was standing in the tunnel and he walked past me. He was sort of deep in thought, so never saw me. But as he got past me, he must have clicked. Oh, and he turned around and he went, "Mickey, how are you?" This is like straight after just beating Manchester United 3-0. And he come back and stood with me, talking to me, had some pictures took with me and my guests. Absolutely amazing. You know, and that's the type of character that he is.
Yeah.
He's an absolute gentleman amongst gentlemen, but also a great... And the only sad thing that I ever feel about Poch and his reign is he deserved to win trophies. He didn't, but he deserved to, because he produced a very good side at a time when we were sort of maybe... didn't have the top players when he arrived to be a top side, but he transformed us into Champions League finalists. You know, so for me, great manager. More importantly, a great man.
Brilliant. And if you don't mind me saying, I've bumped into you several times over the past 10 or so years, and you're brilliant, because every time obviously, you have lots of people around you and stuff. I say, "Hi, Mickey." And you go, "Hi, yeah." I go, "Hotspur's podcast," and you go, "Oh, hi, Steve." And I'm like, "Oh, thanks, Mickey. You remember my name. It's so nice."
That doesn't mean I remember every name, because I meet so many hundreds of thousands of people difficult.
But you chat to my boy, and the nicest one was actually I saw you a couple of years ago at a golf event. It was John Lacey's golf event. And there was all the Spurs boys there and everything, and my dad was there, and you met me with my dad at the time, and we had a lovely chat. So thanks for that; it was brilliant.
No, it's my pleasure. end of the day, you know, it's the only thing that saddens me about modern day football is that they don't necessarily give the fans the time they deserve. Fans are what makes us who we are. Because if the fans don't support you, then you just stay. Nobody's the wrong word, but you know what I mean. The fans were the heroes. You become an even bigger hero if you can give the fans the time they deserve. Because without them, we're nothing.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. All right, a couple more questions then. Let's push on. If I was to say to you a legendary player, you've already mentioned Messi, but a legendary player from the last 20, 25 years who you've enjoyed watching?
Oh, without Messi, my next two would have to be Xavi and Iniesta.
Yeah. Great.
I thought when they were at their peak in this that unbelievable Barcelona team playing with Messi, yeah. I thought them three were just absolutely unstoppable. As good of three footballers as they were the reason why Barcelona were just the best club side ever.
Yeah,
they were unbelievable footballers, all three of them. I could sit and watch them. All day. In fact, sometimes when I'm sitting here, I go on my iPad and I just tap in Barcelona games and watch with Messi, Iniesta and Xavi.
Yeah.
Thought they were just incredible players, incredible to watch.
They really were. Who's your favourite goalkeeper?
That's a great question, that. I mean, I was very lucky, very, very fortunate and lucky to play with two of the best goalkeepers ever.
Yeah,
Jennings would be very high on everyone's list as maybe one of, if not the best ever.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think he was the best ever. And then
are we not talking Spurs best ever? We're talking world.
No, I'm talking about the best ever.
Yeah.
I thought Pat Jennings was just an incredible goalkeeper. And then you've got Ray Clements. I was fortunate enough to play with Ray, who is one of the most decorated goalkeepers ever. I mean, sometimes when we're standing in the Oak Room at the old White Hart Lane, or when we're doing it at Wembley or where the new stadium, and they're introducing Ray Clements, and he's the things he's won, and then you're going to be next. No, don't put me after Clem. You know, like 5 European trophies, 74 league championships, 97 FA Cup winners, President of the United States. I mean, God, honestly, God. I pray I never follow Clem.
Yeah.
So I'm very lucky to play with two of the very best keepers ever.
Brilliant. And what about who's been a favourite from the last few years? I mean, we've had Robbo, Paul Robinson's very popular. Neil Sullivan doesn't really get a mention, but I thought he was decent. Brad Friedel, Lloris.
I think Lloris was when he first arrived, was absolutely amazing goalkeeper.
Yeah.
His starting position was brilliant. He was so quick off his line. And then he had that little escapade with the drink driving saga.
Yeah.
And I feel it sort of impacted on him. Mm. And maybe he hasn't been as confident a keeper as he was. He's still one of the best in the world and still, in my opinion, can get back to his very, very best.
Yeah.
But it's something just played on his mind and he wasn't at his very best, but I think he'll get back to it. But he was my favourite keeper, Lloris.
I thought
when he first came, I thought he was going to go on and become one of our all-time best. Lloris for me.
Bringing it to your favourite defender of the last 20, 25 years?
I don't think you can go beyond Ledley King.
No.
I think Ledley King was much more important was his loyalty to Spurs, you know, my one club, my one and only club. Ledley was just, he could have been equally as good in midfield. And if he'd had two knees, who knows how great he could have been. I thought he was a wonderful footballer. He had everything, power, pace, strength, read the game well, good on the ball. No, super player, Ledley. So Ledley's my favourite defender, yeah.
And your favourite midfielder?
Of the last 20 years.
Yeah, remember, this is as a fan, watching, sitting in the stands. Yes. Yeah, who enjoyed watching?
Favourite midfielder would probably have to be Modric.
Yeah?
Reminded me a bit of Ozzy Ardiles. Wasn't wasn't a Glenn Hoddle and that type of player, but he was a playmaker who made the play. Like Ozzy was the playmaker, he wasn't a Glenn Hoddle.
Yeah.
They made the play, they brought, they were the piece of the jigsaw that was one of the most important pieces because it brought it all together.
Yeah, everything goes through them.
Everything went through them, and they brought other players into the game and allowed them to flourish. Whereas Glenn Hoddle was someone who was just opened up defences for fun, did passes and skills that were rarely seen. Modric wasn't that type. He was an Ardiles type who was playmakers who brought the whole team together and enabled them to play the football that they wanted to play.
Yeah. I've just thought of a question, and it is about your playing, so I'm going to kind of divert slightly. We don't see the guys in training. Did Glenn Hoddle ever score like a goal in training where you boys just went, what a goal?
Yeah, I mean...
every day, maybe.
Every day, 10 times. No, but what you have to remember is that when you're in training, you're doing shooting practices a lot of the time as well. Mm. So when you've got someone like Glenn Hoddle, he's going to score wonder goals every bloody day because technically he could do whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah,
he was such a magician. I've seen Glenn in games score some of the most remarkable goals, but I've probably seen him score better ones in training. In fact, even Paul Millie used to score great goals in training.
Don't tell him that, though.
I won't tell him.
Who's your favourite striker?
My favourite striker, I would have to say, Harry's world class.
Yeah.
But I loved watching. I'm going to go. Can I go for a pair?
Yeah.
I loved Berbatov and Robbie Keane together.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, I thought they were just so. I played with Robbie in the Inter Milan game at the start of the season. He scored a goal there. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, what he must have been like to play with as well. But them two were absolute great pairing. They were both technically very gifted. I loved watching them together. It was such a tragedy when Berbatov left. But obviously Harry will go down as history as probably alongside Jimmy Greaves as our greatest ever goal scorer.
Brilliant. Just on that game, obviously, I'm just thinking you played, but you hurt yourself, didn't you?
Yes, snapped my Achilles.
Oh dear. And one thing I just want to clear up, I was in the stands, and when Gazza came on, I'd been watching him warm up because he's one of my heroes, and when he came on, I thought, he's not right. But the fans around me were saying, oh, Christ, he's looked terrible, he's had a drink, he's this. But he was really injured, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
slightly different, same injury as me, but different. He was warming up, running down the touchline.
Yeah.
And he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, before he even...
I came on and played, and I snapped mine Achilles in two places.
Jeez.
I sort of... The pitch was very firm.
Hmm.
So I sort of wondered, maybe doesn't feel anything for a youngster, but when you get older, you're obviously everything's a bit more vulnerable. So yeah. Gazza warming up sort of did his Achilles. So when he got on, he couldn't move, which was disappointing because I was so looking forward to seeing him play.
Yeah.
And he couldn't. He's definitely 100% injured. He wasn't drunk.
No.
In fact, I'll go as far as to say on the day, he was absolutely brilliant in every way, shape or form. And one of the everlasting things that I'll remember from that day was I'd obviously had to get into the ground earlier to do some tours of the ground. And then when all the players arrived, I was waiting in the dressing room for them.
Yeah.
As Gazza came in, he looked at me and he went, Mickey Hazard, what a player you were. I thought, wow, how did he even know me, you know? It meant so much because someone as big and as great as Gascoigne.
Yeah.
Remembering who you were and saying what player you were, that was a really nice touch. But he was amazing throughout the day, trust me.
Oh, that's terrific. What's the first football match you remember seeing?
The first football match I remember seeing, and it was the only football match that I ever went to, Sunderland in 1973 got the quarter final of the FA Cup, playing Manchester City at Roker Park. It was an absolute full house, jammed to the rafters.
And when we say full house back then, you're probably talking 60, 70,000, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. And I sneaked in. And I didn't, so I sneaked in. I was in the Roker end and I didn't have a ticket. So I was in the middle. I was 13.
Yeah.
And I've got to be honest with you, I left at half time. It was so jammed, I was getting squashed. I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
So I left at half time. And went, obviously, Sunderland won the game. So when we scored and the surge forward to celebrate the goal, I was just lifted off my feet. I was only 13. I was lifted off my feet. And carried all the way. Nobody lifted me. I mean, the crowd, as they surged forward, just lifted me off my feet. I couldn't breathe. So I left at half time.
Wow. Well, one of my questions is, what's the scariest moment you've ever experienced as a fan? Would that be it?
Just let me have a quick think. I would say that would rank there because I was young. I couldn't get my breath.
Some of the other guys have said that going away to some of these, I mean, obviously, I don't know if you go to the away games, but perhaps more in the hospitality and everything, but it's been a bit scary at Dortmund, for example. I don't know if you experienced any of that.
But where?
Dortmund, they were saying it was really, really scary, sort of trying to get into the ground. And I don't know if you're involved in the hustle and the bustle of all that sort of stuff.
I have been. I mean, when I went to Barcelona, when we played them last, you know, when we drew 1-1 and played absolutely brilliant, I drove down to Barcelona on the Sunday, spent 4 days in Barcelona, and then obviously made my way to the game. Walking around the stadium before the game, I met up with Steve Archibald, so we went for something to eat. But I never felt at any point any fear. Whether or not that was because Barcelona had already qualified, so there was nothing riding on the game for them. But no, I never felt any fear. I've been to Old Trafford in similar situations. I went to Ivory. Ivory was fearful more because of who I was and walking around the stadium to get to the entrances. If someone recognised you, you had a... who knows what could have happened.
Yeah.
So I was nervous about walking around Ivory. But then I had my Spurs kit on and my Spurs scarf and my Spurs hat. So I was sort of quite easy to recognise. I've not really experienced the fear that maybe a fan would, you know, a fan who has to go into the end with the fans. I don't think I've experienced that.
And it's no one's crossed the line in terms of being totally outrageously idiotic towards you?
No,
great. Have you been at a match or even down the pub or even at home watching the Spurs in the last 20, 25 years and the match has made you cry?
Every game. Every game.
Obviously, you talk about the last game of the season, but that I'm gonna put that down as the last game when you were there. But that, I'm gonna put that down as you as a player. So, what about you as a fan? Or maybe that comes into it as well.
No, I would say that the finale, for instance.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been a greater occasion in the history of White Hart Lane than the finale.
That's true.
If as a fan or as a player, you didn't get a lump in your throat and you didn't shed a tear and you didn't get goosebumps over every part of your body that day, then God knows why. Because I went through every emotion that I think it was possible to go through that day. You know, and when I was introduced to the crowd when all the players were, I was stood behind Ginola and in front of Oddle. And what I've got to say is that there was a moment where I was standing waiting to be introduced, and someone took a picture of me. I presume they must have took it off TV.
Yeah.
And I've got this picture enlarged on my iPad, and some fan, Spurs fan, sent this picture to me.
Yeah.
And there was a picture of me waiting to be introduced, right?
Yeah.
And the headline above the picture, which the fan had written, was, "If Pride Had a Face." And when I read it,
I'm actually
getting emotional now, because every time I think about it, it just makes me feel so proud that someone would write such a thing.
And every
time I look at it, I think, wow, makes me emotional. Because I think it was the greatest thing. You know, people say, how can you put that ahead of the UEFA Cup final or the FA Cup final? No, because the UEFA Cup final, the FA Cup final was about me. This was about much more, much greater, much bigger than me or anyone. The finale was the greatest day in the history of White Hart Lane, as far as I'm concerned. To be stood there as a little backstreet boy from Sunderland, 300 miles away, and be stood on that pitch with decades and decades of legends, 60-61 winners, 62 European Cup winners, 63-67 FA Cup. I mean, and to be stood there was just, wow.
Yeah.
It was like nothing. And I'll never forget singing on the pitch, "Can't Smile Without You," and "Glory, Glory." I don't know. There's no greater experience in my whole life.
Yeah, and I'll never forget it as well. Everyone's got their own experience of that day. I was there with my boy, who was seven, I think. So me and my little boy, who totally got it. He got it from the age of about two or three, what Spurs was all about. So he was there. And we loved it. The rainbow, I mean.
Well, I think that.
Incredible.
If there was something that encapsulated the old day.
Yeah.
And made the day 10 times more special.
Yeah.
And there's been no better send-off for any stadium in the history of football.
No, it was done perfectly, wasn't it?
That God, it was just perfect, but God decided to declare, he actually declared his love for Spurs that day.
He did.
And he rarely has a favourite, but that day he showed Spurs as his favourite, because he gave us a rainbow from the clock to the shelf. And it was just, it will never be repeated. It was just absolutely wow.
It was brilliant. You came out, you got a brilliant, brilliant reception.
I did.
Cliffy Jones, the come running out.
Yeah, Cliffy ran out, yeah.
Mike England, who's a family friend, came out, sort of saluted the crowd, and I burst out laughing at that. Because he's such a good friend, and it's a shame Mike actually doesn't go to more of the games. Because
Yes, it is. We could talk for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And not actually finish talking about it, because it was the most wonderful day.
Right, couple more questions here then. What's the worst? Let's bring it right down again then. What's the worst football match you ever saw?
Oh God. Well. I'll tell you my worst memory of a football match. I was on Twitter one day, right, on NLD week.
Yeah.
And this guy was giving me a bit of jip, right? And he said to me, "I'll tell you what I'd do." He said, "I'll have a bet with you now."
Yeah.
He said, "At Spurs, we'll lose to Arsenal." It was at Ivory on that Saturday, must have been the Saturday.
Yeah.
So I said, "Okay, you want a bet?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "How much?" He said, "Well, two things." He said, "I work at Canary Wharf. I get the train into King's Cross every day."
Yeah.
He said, "I'll bet you £20 and a lift to from King's Cross. You pick me up at 6:30 in the morning at King's Cross and take me to Canary Wharf." All right?
Yeah.
And I said, "And what will you give me?" I said, "You give me £20 and what?" He said, "I'll give you £50. So I said, "Dave, it's kicks the game off. 1-0 Spurs. 2-0 Spurs. And we lose 5-2.
Oh, dear.
So on the Monday morning, I had to get up at 5:30, drive to King's Cross, pick this gooner up, take him to bloody Canary Wharf, and listen to him talking about the game the whole way there.
Oh,
right?
No.
And all I could say in my head, can I swear?
But mildly, because...
Can I swear?
Mildly, because I'm a teacher, so I've got to warn you.
Okay, so he was sitting giving it all this about the game, and all I could think of was, get the f*** out my car. I couldn't bear it. And when he got out, I drove off, and I was like, the relief, my anger at listening to this conversation, right?
Yeah.
It was honestly, it was my worst ever feeling after a defeat in a game. And it came to them.
Yeah.
And we went 2-0 up.
I know. I remember the game. We went 2-0 up. I'd had a couple of beers, so I paused the telly, went to the toilet, came back, and I just hit the wrong button. And they'd already scored, and then they scored straight away in 2-2.
Yeah.
I remember.
And do you know
the game.
What? Oh. Do you know what? I drove them from King's Cross to Canary Wharf. I was polite the whole way. And then when I gave him the 20 quid, he took it. He bloody took it.
Come on.
I thought he wouldn't have took it.
Have a heart. What about a funny moment in a game that you can remember or a funny match you've seen? Now, top of the list so far, people have said, is when Birmingham beat Arsenal in the League Cup with a last-minute goal. But can you think of any other funny moments?
Wow, it's a great question.
Most people have said an Arsenal game, but they might have
It obviously would incorporate an Arsenal defeat, I suppose. But no, not really.
No. I thought, I can. Go on.
Was it last season? When the Brighton player, when Brighton beat Arsenal, was it Arsenal? Did they win or did they draw?
It was a draw.
It was a draw, and he was walking off laughing, and he was sort of, it was as if he was going to fall over, and he just kept wiggling his legs. I thought it was hilarious. That's
brilliant. No one's brought that one up yet.
Yeah, can you remember? Can you remember seeing it?
Yeah.
Can you remember seeing it?
Absolutely.
It was brilliant.
I remember it? Yeah.
I watched it about 100 times over and over. It was brilliant, and Arsenal needed to win, didn't they?
Yeah.
Brighton actually played them, and because it was Chris Hughton as well, Brighton had absolutely played them off the park and should have won comfortably.
Yeah.
And the guy, the player, as he was coming off the pitch, he was like laughing as if to say, and you remember when Grobbelaar did that in goal?
Yeah, absolutely.
On the pens, he was doing that as he was walking off. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. And then they go to the Arsenal bench, and there were, if you remember, all the players sitting on the bench with faces like smacked.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
It was absolutely brilliant.
And the
brilliant.
Fact is, they were going nowhere, Brighton. It was 1-0 to Arsenal. No, Brighton didn't want to win. And then Xhaka decided to pull back the Brighton player. And I was going, what's he done that for?
I know. It was brilliant. It really was.
Right, two more to go. What player have you had to defend over the years? So everyone says Mickey's rubbish, and you go, no, I quite like him. He's a decent player, that lad.
I sort of from when I was playing Vinnie Samways.
Yeah.
When we lost to Sheffield Wednesday 3-0, and he got absolute unmerciful stick.
I remember it. Yeah.
It was one of the saddest moments of my football career. Because Vinny actually was a very, very good player.
Yes.
And of course, I got that somewhere down the line, he'd sort of got a little bit lost where he became a keeper of the ball rather than a creator of the ball. Mm. And if he'd have kept developing the creative side of his game where he penetrated, he looked to penetrate all the time, he could have been an unbelievable player.
Yeah.
But he was a super talent, and it broke my heart to see him, the pain he was in that day. And I want to say to you what happened, because I was On the pitch that day, the fans had really turned against them.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can remember it.
I can, yes, yes.
And they were giving them a lot of stick. And Justin Edinburgh, God bless him, walked up to Vinny and said, Vinny, look, he said, it's okay, mate. You just hide, mate. We won't give you the ball. We're all, we just won't give you the ball because they're giving it to your lads. And Vinny said, don't give me the ball. He said, you give me the ball more. He said, I want more. And Vinny went out and he absolutely put himself in position everywhere to get the ball at all, no matter what. And every time he got it, the fun, but by the end of the game, he turned them in his favour because of his bravery.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of the most courageous acts that I'd ever seen in football, because when 30, 40, 50,000 crowd are on your back, believe me, it's not easy.
No.
The easy option is to say, okay, I'll get it. If I only get the ball twice, I'll only get stick twice.
Yeah.
But Vinny must have got it 100 times. And I thought, wow, what courage.
Yeah. And I always thought we played really well in those few seasons, but we weren't getting results. And every time, do you remember it was Capital Gold were covering the games those days? And every time I get in the car, put it on, and they say, do you know what? Spurs lost 1-0 today, but they in a minute, any minute now, they're going to batter a team because they play such great football.
Yeah.
But we just weren't getting the breaks.
I've got to be honest, I was part of so many great performances that never turned into a win.
Yeah.
It used to frustrate me to death, I used to think. Because Teddy was injured as well.
Yes.
Teddy got injured, so yes. Teddy was our talisman, our goal scorer.
Yeah.
And we were putting Jason Dazol up front to replace him. But, that thing with Vinny was incredibly sad, but also incredibly uplifting.
Yeah. I think he's another one who I'd love to see come back to the club and come into the lounge and do chats, because
he lives in Spain. That's his problem.
Does he? Yeah, I think he went to Spain, didn't he, to play for Zaragoza?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think if he
came back, he'd get a great reception.
He was ever such a good player.
Yeah. Right. Final
totally
question
underrated.
Then, Mickey.
Hey?
Right. Here's the final question. So aliens come down. They bump into you in the street and they say, right, you are the famous Mickey Hazard. We are aliens. We've heard of this thing called football before, but we don't know what it is. And you say, here we go. So you take them back to your house, you get a DVD out and you say, right, watch this match. This is football. What DVD are you showing them?
Wow.
What is the best football match from a fan's point of view?
Wow, that is just, wow. Well, I mean, the UEFA Cup final, for instance, would rank as my greatest memory in football ever.
Yeah.
From a playing perspective, was it the greatest match ever? And I remember a 3-3 draw v Liverpool at White Hart Lane.
Yeah,
that was an incredible match. I remember, I think it was 5-3 Sheffield Wednesday, Klinsmann's first game.
Yeah,
was that 5-3?
4-3. But
great game, lots
that,
of goals.
That Liverpool game, Alan Hansen confesses that it's the only time he's ever cheered a goal against Liverpool, because he said it was such a great game that he couldn't help himself.
It was wonderful.
He couldn't help himself but cheer the last goal.
Yeah, it was an absolutely incredible game. And we played brilliant that day, Spurs. And we were 1-0 up at half-time. I think they scored 3 goals in 5 minutes at the start of the second half.
Yeah.
To go 3-1 down.
Yourself and I think Caskey was terrific.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It was a brilliant game. It was pissing down the rain. Gale Force winning. It was an absolutely fantastic game. They had Redknapp, they had Fowler.
McManaman. I think he played.
It was just an absolutely wonderful game to be part of.
Yeah. Going for then? Is that no? Because you played in that. Got to be a game you haven't played in.
Oh, in a game I haven't played in.
Yeah, got to be as a fan. You've watched it and gone. There's only one
choice.
Go on.
Ajax.
Right. Okay.
I can't see beyond Ajax. I thought it was just, having said that, I thought we were sensational in Barcelona in the Nou Camp.
Yes.
When we drew 1-1 with them, I thought we played sensational that day and could have won 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But I don't think anything will ever beat Ajax.
Yeah.
Simple as that. The emotions I had, obviously I was on a wheelchair. It was not long after I'd snapped my Achilles. I was indoors. And I've got to be honest, I'm one of these guys who never believes we're going to lose. I never think ever we're going to lose. But at that point, when they got their second goal to go 3-0 up, I said at half-time, we need an early goal.
Yeah.
If we don't get an early goal, we're done.
Yeah.
And then it went, and then it we got back to 3-2, and then when Jan missed that header, you remember Jan's header?
Yeah.
I thought that's it. And then when their goalkeeper's got a goal kick, I was lying there, I was just sitting in the wheelchair, almost in tears, because that was it. It was 30 seconds to go, and then the silly Wally delayed the kick out. The ref added the time on.
Yes, he did, yes.
Yeah, I can't even begin to tell you the noise in my house when that goal went in.
Yeah.
It was like being brought from the depths of despair,
Yeah.
And very much like the Manchester City game and the VAR decision as well.
Yeah.
The two games for me go down as the greatest in the history because of the, you for me, you're at the depths. I don't think you could feel any lower in either game. I mean, in that game, I rarely criticise players, but I was given Eriksen at unbelievable in the Manchester City game. Why didn't you put it in Rosehead, you idiot? Blah, 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 blah. And then when the VAR decision came, oh, the elation. But the Ajax game was just, I don't think, for pure TV, for pure excitement, to be brought back from the lowest of the low point to the highest of the eye, I don't think there'll ever be a better second in the history of Spurs Football Club.
Absolutely.
That was the best second in history of Spurs Football Club that I've ever, ever, ever known. And remember, I include the UEFA Cup penalty shootout when we won with the very last kick of the game when Park saved it.
Yeah.
But I don't even think that lives up to the last second of that goal against Ajax. It was
Absolutely. It was
breathtaking.
And everything that comes with it. I just very quickly, I had tickets in my hand. I'd gone on EasyJet that day. Before the game, and I said to my dad, the tickets are £200 from Southend to I could cut. He was in La Manga at the time, so I spend the Friday night in La Manga with you, then we'll go up to the Madrid and then come back, we'll have a great weekend. And he said, go on then, do it doesn't even if we don't get through, we'll just watch Ajax v Liverpool in a bar or something. And then I told my missus, she had a right go at me. She said, what are you wasting our money for? We can't afford tickets to Spain and you're not going and this, that, and the other. At half time, I had to see her with the towel between my legs and said, don't think I'm going to be going. And she's like, oh God, had a right go at me. And then the elation of going and telling her that, no, it's all right. It's not been wasted. It's fine. So brilliant. Absolutely.
Oh, I got to say, it was just an incredible moment. And I was on a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Right. And I was jumping up and down on my wheelchair, celebrating this goal. Like, honestly.
Did you make it to Madrid?
Hey?
Did you make it to Madrid?
No. I watched it at the stadium.
Yeah.
I was devastated. Yeah. I watched it at the stadium and heartbroken because I didn't think Liverpool were poor on the day.
No.
And we didn't play great.
Yeah.
But it was a game there to be had.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful day for me all the same, one, to be in a Champions League final watching Spurs. Two, I watched it with my grandchildren. I had all my grandchildren and my two sons at the game. And we watched it from the director's box.
Yeah.
At White Hart Lane. at the new stadium.
Yeah,
true. So for me, while it was a defeat, and so desperately wanted my 2 6-year-old grandchildren and 15-year-old grandchild to see Spurs win the Champions League,
yeah,
it was a special moment to be sitting with them watching Spurs in the Champions League final, you know. And I've always said, for as long as I can remember, you know, my football wish is that before I die, I want to see Spurs win the league.
Mm.
You know, if I can see Spurs win the league, that's my wish.
Yeah.
Because it's too big a club. You know, we've waited all since 60, 61 to re-win that title. And we're too big a club to go that long.
Yeah.
And I thought we were doing it under Poch in that year. Leicester won it. But I genuinely believe, and if we say that, I've got, you know, I'm 60 now, 15, 20 years, hopefully.
Mm.
I've got 20 years to see Spurs win the title.
Yeah. I think we'll win a few, won't we, in 20 years?
I hope so. I think that if you look at the potential of this football club now, you know, with everything that's, we've got in place, and the financial clout in the not too distant future that we're going to have as a club, there's no reason why we can't, because we've got everything in place now for long-term success. You know, within, if you go throughout our history, there's always been little spurts of building a great team, winning 2 or 3 trophies, and then breaking that team up. You know, I use my team as a prime example. We should have won 10 trophies. We were that. It was such a special group of players, special team. And I genuinely thought if it hadn't been broken up, we'd have won 10, 11, year in, year out. And that must be the aim, to be win trophies year in, year out. And when I look at Spurs today, I think that we've got things in place to bring long-term success. And hopefully the short-term days are gone, whereby we win a trophy and then we break up the team.
Yeah.
No, we got to build on that and win trophies forever. But it's coming. It's coming, I've got no doubt.
No, me neither. I'm very positive about it. But look, brilliant, Mickey. Yeah. Thanks ever so much, as always, for the chat. It's fun, and the listeners are going to love this. So just once again, thanks ever so much.
No problem, Steve. My pleasure. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, Mickey. Stay safe. Come on, you Spurs. Thank you.
Yeah, boys.